Good morning, God's dearly beloved. It's great to see you today. I am not Pastor Josh Holland. Pastor Josh and his lovely family are off on a little bit of vacation, and they'll be back with us next week. But Pastor Josh asked me to fill in the pulpit today and share with you the Word of God. It's my joy to do so, and I hope you're ready to exercise your Bibles. Everybody got your Bible up there? Exercise the Bible? Very good. You know, there's nothing like for a preaching pastor to hear the pages of those Bibles screaming open. We're going to be in Acts chapter 26 for the main part of our message today. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the seats in front of you, and we're going to be on page 750. So if you're new to a Bible, welcome aboard. We all were new once, right? And instead of you having to look it up by the book, you can look it up by the page. So we're going to be on page 750 if you'd like to join us today. Very good. Well, I had a fun little experience last Sunday. It was Sunday night, and Tanya and I were watching our granddaughters from our kids, Jim and Callie, down in Vancouver. Little Maddie at 6 years old and little littler Collins at three. And it was getting bedtime, and we had put the little one down, but our little six-year-old Maddie, she's kind of a night owl. And she saw me stirring, and I was going over to my desk in the office and working. She goes, "Grampy, is there anything I can help you with?" No, Maddie, it's 10 o'clock, and we probably should get to bed. She goes, "Well, what are you doing?" Burn the clock, right? Burn the clock. I'm not ready to go to bed. "Well, honey, I'm studying for a message. You know how Pastor Josh, you know, preached last Sunday and taught us God's word? That's what I'm going to do this Sunday." She goes, "Oh, Grampy, it's going to be awesome." So no pressure today, right? No pressure out of the mouth of babes. But we're so glad that you're here today. And it's my joy. As you don't know me, I'm Pastor Ron Lager. And I get to serve with our very wonderful group of men that at Mountain View called our elders. God's word calls us elders or deacons. And so I get to serve on the elder team. And my job is the pastor of plugging in. You guys know what plugging in means? If you want a power tool and you want it to work, and or you got a battery, you got to plug it in. Well, that's my job as pastor of ministry development. My job is to help take God's people and get them into God's work. And so today, this is a message out of the scriptures related to our service. The title of our message this morning is Letting the Sun Shine Through Your Service. So let's talk about that today. But before we begin, why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that your word is a light and a lamp unto our path. Lord God, we're so thankful that it shows us things that we are and it shows us things we're not. Lord, your word shows us what you're like and it shows us what we're like. Lord, may we notice the difference. And I pray in Jesus' name that every hearer here joining us today, either here in live in our worship service or online with us today, Lord, may they feel welcome, may they feel blessed, and we'd love to have them come in person and be able to have that fellowship. So, Lord, just bless every hearer of this message. Make it hit our hearts, make it hit our minds, and Lord, activate our hands and feet to be your light in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. Just so happened, I was at the eye doctor's office the other day, and it got me thinking. How many people have been to an eye exam in the last 5-10 years? Okay? Are you squinting right now? Maybe you need to go again. But as I was in the optometrist office, you know, they're really good to me. They come in, they say, "Oh, Mr. Ron, it's so good to see you. Why don't you sit down here? We're going to put your head in this little machine." Have you guys ever had the puff test? Okay, how many people have never heard of the puff test? Okay, anybody not heard of a puff test? Anybody? No, you don't know what a puff test is. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Heidi, take your eye, open it up, okay, and have somebody blow in it. Okay, so that's the puff test. Doctors actually do this, okay? Kids, do not do this at home until you have your license. So the puff test is to hit you with a little puff of air. And this really fancy machine is going to look at the pressure in your eye. And they don't want that pressure to be too high, because as your pressure gets too high, it can, I guess, squeeze your blood vessels, and it can squeeze that optic nerve, and you'll have a condition called glaucoma. Okay, glaucoma, too much pressure in the eye. Okay, so they do that test. And then they get really invasive. They put my head back and they squirt this liquid in it. Okay, oh yeah, that, I forgot to tell you about that. That's really cool. How Harry the glaucoma machine needs to be adjusted again. Yeah, maybe too much pressure. Maybe you're coming here today and you got too much pressure in your life. Okay, don't let it knock you down. Come back up. Get refreshed today and go back out there. But in my story here of going to the eye doctor, they drop in this solution into my eye to dilate my eye. Okay, so it went from puffing in my eye to now opening my eye so that my pupil will dilate or open up. And then they take this slit lamp and they look at that and they just want to make sure everything good is going on in there. They're really concerned for my vision. Right? They want the light of things that are reflected in my eye to be focused. And I really believe that's a really good spiritual analogy, that God wants our eyesight sharp and clear. And I don't know about you, but you know, you go into those machines that come down over your eyes and they flip these lenses down. It's called a phoopter. No, that's a phoopter, okay? Did I say that right? Does anybody know what the name is? Terry Wilson, did I get that right? A phoopter, okay. So anyway, they come down here and say, okay, Mr. Ron, this is what your prescription is, but let's just check it. So how's that? Is one better or is two better? Has anybody ever had that happen? Is one better or is two better? Why do you want to know? Well, one's supposed to be clearer than the other. Okay? And I believe that's really what God wants. God wants us to have a clear, visible picture of what we're up against in this world. Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't like fuzzies. I like it to be clear. And so today we're going to open up God's Word, and we're going to go number one or number two. Is this verse better? Or is this verse better? See what I'm trying to say? Every time you open up God's Word, it wants to help you with your vision, right? How many of us need a real freshening up of our prescription today to live in this world? So that's what we're going to do today. I had no idea that there were so many things that could go wrong with the human eye. Can you go back up one? Look at this. So as they're looking into your eye, these are all the things that can go haywire in that beautiful gift called the human eye. And there's all kinds of different names. I didn't know about snail tracks in my eyes. I didn't know about a retinal hole. I didn't know about floaters. And just the other day, I closed my eyes in the sun, and there was this dust bunny. Does everybody know what a floater is? If you don't, it's a preview of coming attractions. Okay, as you get older, you might get floaters. Okay, so right now, if I close my eyes in the light and I go like this, it goes down. If I raise my eyes, it comes up and it looks like a dust bunny. Okay, and I don't know what's going on with that. Maybe God's got a message in there that I got floaters. But, you know, there's things that can go wrong with our eyesight. And we know that not everybody has 20/20 vision, and every day when we come to church and we open up God's Word in our homes and on our phones and when we are studying, we know that God wants our vision to be sharp and clear. Amen? Who wants their vision sharp and clear today? All right, nudge your neighbor and say, open up your Bible. All right. One or two, right? One or two. All right, so let me lay a foundation today. This message is called Letting the Sun, that's Jesus Christ the Sun, letting Jesus Christ the Sun shine through our service. I really believe that God wants our vision sharp and clear. So today, to God's glory, let's look at the scriptures and see what he says. When you open up your Bibles, I love God's Word. You know, I'm constantly amazed at what it's teaching me. How many times have I read this? How many times have you read this? And every day, you just get more and more and more out of it. It's like you open it up and you came with a shovel, and the next thing you know, you're walking away and you feel like you've been on an excavator, digging deep into God's word, and he's showing you all these nuggets that are buried in the text that you may have not noticed before. And one thing I've noticed is how much the first two, three chapters of Genesis are to the last three chapters in the book of Revelation. You ever notice that? Genesis 1, 2, and 3 before the fall. All the questions from all the other chapters going up to Revelation 20, 21, and 22, like a good teacher, a good textbook, all the answers are at the back of the book. And one thing I've noticed here is that when it comes to it, the very first page of the Bible and the very last page of the Bible have something in common. There's God, and there's light, and there's people, and there's service. Now, some of you think you're going to get out of this life and not do anything in heaven. It's going to just be a retirement, right? We always kid people, oh, you're serving in the church? Oh, great, your retirement system's out of this world, okay? But God has got bigger plans for us than just retirement. How many people that are retired, did you get bored pretty quick? None of you are bored. Excellent. Case dismissed. Class dismissed. Keep on doing what you're doing. Well, most of us, I don't know about you, but when I'm serving Christ, when I'm living on mission for Jesus, there's nothing that feels better. Amen? There's just absolutely nothing better than being in the sweet spot of where God wants you. And today, hopefully, we'll get there. But anyway, Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 1:3, help me out, the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We go to Genesis 3, and God says what? Let there be light. And what happened? There was light. That's exactly right. So we ask ourselves, where did that light come from? Where did that light come from? If God didn't create the sun until later on, in creation, where did that light come from? If God spoke it and it became, where did it come from? God himself, exactly. God is the giver of light. And if you go all the way to the very back page of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, guess what's in Revelation chapter 22? God, light, right? And service. Look at this, Revelation 22. So this is the bookends of the Bible, right? The same thing in Genesis 1 is in Genesis 22. Look at this. Start talking about the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem that's coming down, a city 1,500 miles wide from the Pacific Ocean to the middle of Minnesota. From the top of Washington to the Canadian border, south 1,500 miles all the way down into Baja, Mexico. Over east and all the way over to central Texas and up. That's one city. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Oh, I forgot to tell you, 1,500 miles high. That's what God has in store for us. Look at least what it says. He gives us a sneak peek into our future. He says in Revelation chapter 22, John's hearing the angel bring him this message. There will no longer be any curse. Amen? Who says amen to no more curse? Amen. Who says amen to the throne of God? Who says that we're going to celebrate the Lamb? That is Jesus Christ, the one who was slain for us. The Lamb will be in that city. Amen? His bondservants will be there. All of us that are in Christ, who have ever said yes to God by faith, who are truly the redeemed, the saved, we are his bondservants. We're going to be there. And look at this. This is not a retirement system. This is a service system. The very last page of the Bible has something to do with the first page of the Bible. Did you know that work, service, labor was all pre-fall? God had work for us to do in the beginning in that garden, and now God, in his wonderful wisdom has a place for us to serve him forever in glory. Now look at this. And we, his bondservants, will see his face, and his name will be written on our foreheads. And there will be no longer any night, and they will have no need of a lamp, of a light, nor the light of the sun. Why? Because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star. Yeah? Yeah. Okay, preview of coming attractions. We're not there yet. What do we do in these days? Well, thankfully, the Lord has helped us with our prescription, because in John 8, Jesus tells us, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. For those of us who are in Christ, aren't you glad God flipped the switch and turned you on? From the life of sin and darkness to the life of righteousness and light. No hunger, no thirst, wasting away in a dark world, and now the healthy of us, the ones here, we can't get enough of this. The more you dig, the more you find. The more you immerse yourself in God's word, the cleaner your life if you obey. And so Jesus said he was the light of the world. Well, how come he was the light of the world? Well, because God was light. And God spoke light into being, and God knows what he's doing with light. And I purport to you this morning, based upon God's word in Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, you're the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men that they may see what? What do they say? Your good works, and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. So when the world, right, when the world sees you shine, there's going to say, there's someone different about that Daniel guy. There's someone different than that Debbie Swecker. There's someone different than that Greg Anderson. They're different than the world. This dude is on mission for Jesus. I see there's something. Greg, what is it about you, dude? You know, it's like, don't you want people to ask you that? There's a difference between dark and light. Amen? I can remember doing a funeral once down in Roseburg, Oregon, when I pastored down there. And in the middle of the preaching time of this message, a woman goes, what planet are you from? She was in so much darkness, she didn't even know she was in light, right? That she could see, there was an opportunity to see the light, to get your prescription perfected, to have light. You used to be darkness, Paul says, and now you're light. Walk in the light. But can you imagine that? What planet are you from? I have never heard this kind of thing before. Well, in our text today, that's exactly what Paul gets. Paul, you're going mad, dude. What planet are you from? Right? So darkness doesn't know anything to do with light, and light doesn't want the darkness. So in Matthew 5, we're to just turn our light on. Paul said in Ephesians 5:8, for you were once in the dark. Mm-mm. You were actually darkness. But now you're light. You're light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. You know, when children play, don't they love to play? My grandkids, you know, it's like adults, maybe this is a good reminder. Kids, let me help you out here. I remember as a kid, you play to learn. Your work is your play. And isn't it fun to see kids that are just, I mean, our little granddaughters and grandkids, they just love pools. What is it with water that gets kids just giddy? And they're flying around, and we had a little family reunion, so Grampy, I went down to the store, and our girls, we have 6 granddaughters and 3 grandsons. 3 daughters, right? 6 granddaughters. That's a lot of estrogen. So some of us have to be different. We're called guys. There's darkness called women, and there's light called men. Okay? And so when our kids come over, Grampy goes big. So I went down to the store, and our kids are crazy about unicorns. So I found this blow-up unicorn, and you hook a garden hose to it, and out of the unicorn is spouting water. Spouting water. And so they'll come in, they'll play, and they'll run around in the hose and come back out. They just love playing, right? Because that's what kids do. We play to learn. Work for a kid is their play. And I think that's a good way to look at it. As children, shouldn't we just love playing in the light, being in the light, enjoying the light? Paul says in Philippians 2:14, he says, do all things without complaining or arguing. I don't like this Bible text very much, do you? This isn't my favorite. Why? Because I still like to dabble in the darkness. You know that every time you complain and you argue, it's like you're taking this beautiful light bulb. Remember in the days when we had real light bulbs? Right? Not LEDs, right? But real lights, light bulbs. And it was a white light bulb, and you could get it frosty, you could get it blue, you could get it white. But just think about a white light bulb. Every time you argue, it's like you're taking a jumbo Sharpie and writing in there in dark black, grumbling, arguing, complaining, lust, taking God's name in vain, sexual immorality. What does that do? What does that black Sharpie do to a white light bulb? It darkens it. So when we are in the midst of running away from what God says is good for us, our little light is being diminished. Do you guys get that spiritual illustration right there? That every time we are in what God says is not good for us, that's called sin. Sin is darkness. Sin is going to bring forth death. There's going to be a penalty for that. That we'll prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent children. That's what Paul wants for his little spiritual family there at Philippi. He's writing to this church in Philippi. They're called Philippians. But this could be written to Mountain Viewians, right? It could be First Calvary Chapelists, Christ Covenant Churchists, right? If it's the true church, this is good for us this morning as we build a case for thinking about letting our sun shine. Letting the sun shine, because we're children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Do you know what that is? That's our times. It was in Paul's times, but it's in our times. And the stuff our culture is saying, which is good for us, it's like drinking from a septic tank. It makes us sick, and it kills us. Do you know what a dark and perverted culture is? That's the days Paul was in, but it's also the days that we're in. But boy, even in my lifetime, it just seems things like are on a fast collision course, right? It just seems to be picking up speed, this crooked and perverse generation, among whom we're supposed to appear as lights in the world, Paul says, holding firmly the word of life, that is Christ and his word, so that on the day of Christ, when he comes back for the church, that Paul can take pride because he did not run in vain the course and the labor that Christ had for him. The Apostle Paul wanted to be proud of the Philippians. Christ wants to be proud of us. Amen? And how we handle his light is whether it's not where he's going to be proud of us or not. So imagine this. It's a dark sky at night. It's a dark sky at night. You see all the stars just twinkling. Now imagine this vantage point. You're up looking at the stars, noticing these constellations, maybe galaxies, but you just are noticing this just amazing lights in the sky. Just imagine what it's like for God to look down on us and see those lights glowing, right? We look up to the heavens. He looks down to us to see our lights glowing. And he says, boy, I look good in those people. Man, that Chris family is just really bright today. The Keys, they're really bright today. The Swensons, they're really bright today. Right? The Judds, they're really bright today. The Lowe's, they're just beaming. Right? Just think about that. When God looks down, he says that we're like a city on a hill, lights for a purpose. And so today, I want you to see an example in the life of Paul. It's a beautiful picture in Acts chapter 16. But as I read my Bible, I've noticed something about Paul, and I want to help you with that today. And this is perhaps, look at this as like a four-step process. Let's look at the four L's. First of all, I want you to notice light. Then I want you to notice love. And then I want you to notice labor. And those first three, if you have God's light, you have God's love. If you have God's light and God's love, God wants you to go to work for him. That's called labors. And if you do all three of that over time, that's called a legacy. Didn't Jesus have a legacy? We're his legacy. Somebody was kind enough and nice enough and on mission enough to share the gospel with you. Do you guys remember the day you got saved? The day you said yes to Jesus? You finally said, okay, Lord, I get it. You got my attention. Maybe some life event happened. I can remember Highland Hill Baptist Church. I was 5 years old in Tacoma, Washington. You guys know where Cheney Stadium is on the way to Gig Harbor? We had a little church over there called Highland Hill Baptist Church. It was a Sunday night service, and our pastor was preaching Liars Go to Hell Without Jesus. Now, I was 5 years old. But you know something? God's word was light. And it was like a tractor beam of light. And I'm guilty. I'm a liar. I had lied to my sister earlier the day before. And it was like the floor was going to open up and I was going to descend into abyss with fire and brimstone and separation. I was going to die and have nobody to cover me. And then that pastor held out the light of God's love. He held out. And I ran down that aisle, and I grabbed him by the knee and just held on for dear life. At 5 years old, I can still remember that. How about you? Someone was kind enough to flip on their light bulb of light, and they lit up your world with the gospel. We're going to see that in Paul, but if you have the light of Christ, you have the love of Christ, and now you can labor for Christ. And you do that over time, that is your legacy. That'll be your eternal impact, and God will reward you for it. So let's take a quick trip over to the Mediterranean. Let's run over to Israel to a special place called Caesarea. Okay, what do you think of when you hear of Caesarea? Caesar, right? And not a salad. A person. Very unfriendly to the gospel. Paul has been arrested, Paul is under chains, and Paul wants to make his case to the emperor, who was Nero at the time. Now let's see who his audience is. In Acts chapter 25 and 26, there's a guy named Festus, and not the one from Gunsmoke. Festus, okay, he was a governor. And he was shacking up with his brother's wife, Drusilla. That's who's going to hear a justice case. Then there's a guy named King Agrippa, as in he doesn't have a grip on his world, right? But he thinks he does. He thinks he's controlling the world. And these are the people who Paul is going to share his testimony with. So if you love the gospel, Paul's going to share the gospel today. Has anybody ever been in a tight spot, under pressure, and you didn't know what to say? This message is for you. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to say, and you felt the pressure was on? This message is for you. So in Acts chapter 26 here, we're going to go to Caesarea. Today you can go to Caesarea, just like we have Yellowstone National Park. Okay? We have Joshua Tree National Park. Caesarea in Israel is a national park, and this was the place. If you go to this, can we go down one slide more? Right here, we believe this is where Paul made his defense to King Agrippa and Festus right here in this location. Tanya and I have been on this location. We took a trip over to the Holy Land, 40 people from our church when we were down in Roseburg, and I remember this spot, beautiful Mediterranean breeze coming in. And this was the Santa Barbara for kings. This was the Malibu Beach for governors. This is where they hung out. And so this is where Paul is under arrest. He's in chains. And so we see in Paul's testimony here, Paul's going to let his little light shine. Remember that song when we were kids? Sing it with me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. See, your little light shining. Paul is going to have an opportunity to flip the switch and just live like who he is. And so we see in chapter 26, we see a really beautiful picture of what it would be like for us to give our personal testimony. What would it be like to give our testimony? Well, Paul gives it in three sessions, like a really good message has. How many points? Before I met Jesus, how I met Jesus, and how it's going since I've been following Jesus. This is kind of where we take it in evangelism, of how to teach people to just share with their friends, their neighbors, their family, anybody who you love and do not want to see separated from God forever. This is just a little way to do it. This was my life before Jesus. Now, in my case, at 5 years old, it may be different than your life. It was different than Paul's life, right? I always tell people, well, my life began at a very young age. You know, my supernatural life began at a young age, at 5, but, you know, your life may have begun at 35, 45, 55, 65. I remember leading a guy to Christ at age 79 and baptizing him here at 81. His name was Bill Furrer. And people had prayed for him for 50 years. Their light had been shining around this guy for over 50 years. The church had been praying for this guy's salvation. And one day I got to flip the switch on his 79th birthday. I took a birthday card over to him and said, Bill, I love you. I can tell how many other people love you, but you know, there's someone who loves you even more, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's died for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he's so willing to cover all that sin and all that stuff and stink. How would you like to have a second birthday today, Bill? Not just the celebrating the day you were born physically, but how would you like to be born again? And I'll never forget it. On Foreign Road in Centralia. Well, as a matter of fact, I would. Now what do I do? But for 50 years, this guy had been prayed for. Just a little bit of light, a little bit of love, and a little bit of work, and guess what happened? He started following Jesus. Praise the Lord. You can have that too. Let's look at Paul's story. So, Acts 26, all I have time for today with you is verses 12 through 18, but we're going to really, really focus on verse 18 because I think there's some real great application for us today. Let's improve our prescription. Everybody go one or two. Everybody with me, ready? One or two. Okay, let's see here. Acts chapter 26. While so engaged, Paul was telling Agrippa that I had been out there persecuting the church. I was dragging him out. I was setting up their murders. I was engaged in that. So while so engaged in persecuting the church, as I was journeying to Damascus with authority and commission of the chief priest, at midday, O king, here's my story. At midday, O king, here's how I met Jesus. I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, that's what we would call Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke, Aramaic, the Hebrew dialect, Aramaic, Saul, Saul, see, it's personal. Why are you persecuting me? Put your name there. Ron, Ron. Why are you doing these things against me? Put your name there. Ready? Say your name blank. Say your name. Say your name again. Why are you not following me? He tells Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Do you guys know what a goad is? It's a pastoral voice in your life. A pastoral voice in your life. It is an idiom referring to an animal's futile resistance to being prodded with a spiked stick. So imagine this. You've got an oxen. They've got a yoke over their neck. They're pulling like a plow, and they decide to just take it easy, and you got to get your field plowed. So the owner would take out this big, long stick with a pointed end, right? And he would just goose it. It's like right here, you know, cows will kick at you, or you know, the horses will kick. It's like, you know, when they have an irritation, they kick. Right? It's like parents when you correct your children. Right? But it's futile. They're yoked. And you can keep prodding them. The prod is a goad. Saul, it is futile for you to kick against me. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. But get up, stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you as a servant and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen me, but also the things that you're going to see and I'll appear to you on. Rescuing you, I'm going to rescue you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you. Notice this. On the day Paul gets saved, Jesus is already speaking into his future. Isn't that cool? That your salvation does not take God by surprise. He has planned this from the foundations of the world, that you should be holy and blameless as his beloved. Paul, I'm going to rescue you for a purpose because I'm going to give you five things here that you're going to see in your ministry, and I really believe God wants this in our ministries. That no matter who you are, no matter what gift you have, God wants to show us these five things in every one of our lives. Here they are. Verse 18, Paul, I'm going to use you to open up their eyes. Whose eyes? Gentiles' eyes and Jews' eyes. There's nobody that doesn't fit either Jew or Gentile. Gentile just means the nations. Everybody but Jews, you're going to speak to both of those people groups, and this is what I'm going to do. You're going to help them to have their eyes get open. You're going to turn them from, you're going to be used to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst those who have been sanctified by faith in me. I know it's late, but we can throw out 3 points pretty quick. Jesus expects Paul and us to take action. Did you notice there in verse 16a, what does Jesus tell Paul after he's seen the light? Okay, Paul, I got your attention now. Right, I got you right where I want you. So people, when there's a circumstance in our life that's overpowering us, we don't understand it, we don't want to be there, but it's there. God's got an answer. Maybe it's a car crash. It could be a health situation. It could be cancer. It could be financial ruin. It could be our kids are off the hinge. It could be a bad neighborhood. It could be whatever God wants. God is so good about getting our attention personally. Amen? And he got Paul's attention. Just the time he's marching down the road to do what he thinks was God's will, boom, blinded by the light. Got your attention. I got you right where I want you now. You can't fight against me, but Paul, I got big plans for you. Rise and stand up. Stand to your feet. I got work for you to do. Amen? So you may think that you have just so messed up your life. that there's just no new beginning for you. I'm going to tell you that's not true. God says, come to light. Now rise up and stand up. I got something for you to do. Look at this. Point two is real simple. Number two, Jesus has big plans for Paul. Look at this. He's going to make him a minister and a witness. You guys know what a minister is? What's a minister? It's not me, just me. It's y'all. God has made all of us to be ministers. A minister just means to be a servant, okay? That's all it is. Servant, a person who is interested in serving their king, that's a minister. A person who delights to do the Lord's work, that's a minister. But he's also going to make you a witness. See, Paul wasn't just a minister, but he was also a witness. He's starting off telling these guys that are listening to his testimony what God's done in his life. Now, he's talking to unbelievers about his job description. Now, isn't that funny that you can sit down with a cup of coffee with somebody or be playing with someone, kids, and someone says something out of their mouth that just is so totally offensive to your heart and to God's word, and you just say, hey, just a second there. Can I just say something right there? That really hurts my heart when you say that. Your mouth is not a toilet. Your mouth is not a septic tank, okay? Let's just be real here. When you use that four-letter word around me, I just wilt. God's got something better for you than cursing. He's got blessing, okay? You don't have to use those words around me. You don't have to take the Lord's name in vain. If we're going to have a relationship here, I just want you to know that hurts me. If you continue to use that around me, just know you're hurting me. There's a witness, right? Just say, okay, here's what your eyesight is, but oh, let's put it this page. Is it one better or is two pages better? See, God, when he says something, he says it multiple times, so you have multiple prescriptions to put in front of someone's eyes as a witness. Point number three, it's also simple. Jesus brings amazing results in Paul's life and in our ministries. I loved hearing about Andrew kind of giving us the rundown of what Awana season's coming up. And so on Wednesday nights, if you're not familiar with what Awana is just basically a kids' discipleship ministry on Wednesday nights where they come down from about 6 o'clock at night till almost 8:30 at night, and it's just totally complete chaos for 2 hours. They sing, they play, they memorize verses, they get awards. It's just like a little kid's farm team for heaven, right? And they can go from the farm team to A-League to AAA, and then they go pro as a Christian. That's all Awana is. It's just a discipleship ministry for kids. And I'll tell you, it is the most intensive manpower, womanpower ministry we have. We need lots of people in one spot on one night of the week, one day a week. But, you know, Awana may not be for you. Awana works for some people to serve in. If you could give the church 1 hour a week with one hand, I could give you a dust rag, and every horizontal surface in Mountain View would be dust-free. If you could give me 2 hours, I could put you, Greg Anderson and I, could put you on a painting project to just restripe the church parking lot, if you're good and can paint straight lines. Yesterday, I was amazed. I got a call in the morning. The church kitchen was flooding. A water pipe had broke by the ice machine, and the Culp family was down here doing something completely different. They walked through the church to use the restroom and saw that the church kitchen was flooding. What did they do? Let's get out of here before we have to do something. No, they didn't. They did not run from the cross. They ran to it. And they started cleaning up, and other people started coming in. The Joneses, Tom and Mary Jones came in. Ron Dew was there. Thank the Lord that Matt Erzin had a water extractor, and he brought it over. And then God gave the church a guy by the name of Alan Pearson, who cleans carpets. in our church family? Was that not the right person for the right moment? Right? And I know this sounds terrible, but Alan sucks for the glory of God. Just using, he just sucks up that water. I don't know if you noticed out here, he cleaned the carpets, they look beautiful. But you know what I'm saying, you know, that's just him being a minister, him being a servant. And you know, it's just amazing. If you can give the church a half an hour a week, we've got work for you to do. There's no reason for you to be bored and don't know what to do. We got people whose lives, they're gonna see these five things happen. Number one, you're gonna be used to help open eyes. Oh, I didn't know how that's what God thought of me. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's totally, totally offended and disgusted with your utter depravity and your loathsome life. And he's got something better for you than darkness. He's got light. See, God always has something better than what we're experiencing, amen? And he wants us to flip the switch and have that light turn on so that will happen. So that with his light and his love and your labors, that's going to be a legacy for you in heaven. You'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy the rewards of the kingdom. And I really believe God is a rewarding God. Jesus said on the last page of the Bible, I'm coming quickly, and I'm bringing my reward with me. I'm going to reward those people who are living on mission for me. And it says in John 15, it brings my Father much glory that you bear much fruit. How much fruit? Well, we know you're all fruits, but what I'm trying to say is there's an outcome, there's a production, there's a byproduct of your investment of time, talent, and treasure. Supernatural outcomes. God's going to use us to open eyes. Look at number two. God's going to use us to turn people from darkness to light. God is going to use us to help people get out of the dominion of Satan and enter the kingdom of God. Isn't that a big contrast? What better can you get than from blinded to illuminated? To go from darkness to light. To go from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God and his Son, the kingdom of light. Now look at this, number four. This is what, I know Burt Bacharach wrote this song, what the Lord love, or what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Yeah, pretty catchy tune, right? It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Sing with me. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. But is Jesus Christ the Son forever? Amen. Okay, we can change the lyrics to that song. But that's what we're supposed to do. We want to help people get out from under the burden of running in shame and guilt. How much neuroticism, how much self-centered focus, what would our world be like if we could have a sin elimination discovery session? You do not have to run around, right, with your hair on fire. You don't have to run around pushing substances through you. You don't have to run around selling your body. You don't have to run around because you've done something wrong and all you're trying to do is just run away from it as fast and frantic as possible just to get out from under that shame and guilt. Thank you, Lord, that you've got an answer to my biggest problem. That's the forgiveness of sins forever. And as far as the East is from the West, he's not going to remember it anymore. You know, it's one thing to be forgiven, but when someone holds it over your head, right? Like a mom or dad, you know, your kid does something. Well, you know, I told you that was wrong. I know, Dad, I'm so sorry about that. Would you please forgive me? Fine. A couple days later, I told you you were a no good. You always do blank. Is that forgiveness? What's your memory, dude? Can't you remember? I'm sorry, Dad, but I forgot. To have things held over your head is the cruelest punishment. Don't we know that in relationships? To withhold affection, to withhold resources, to withhold something from somebody and make them pay for a long time over their life. Heaven forbid, that is us as believers. We've been forgiven much, right? How could we not forgive others? unforgiveness of you to you and unforgiveness from you to others, that is such a beautiful gift. Amen. Can we be big forgivers here? And then, this is so cool. When you get a new daddy, you get a new will. There's an inheritance, right? That when God is done with us in this earthly life, there's something to look forward to. It's an inheritance that is imperishable, reserved in heaven for us, Peter says in 1 Peter 1. Undefiled, waiting for you in heaven. If you'll just receive God's light, take God's love. And with that light and love, go do something with it. It's called service. Ron Lager loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Remember the old campus crusade, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Well, we have that same philosophy here at Mountain View Baptist Church. If you love Jesus, right, if you're God's people, we've got God's work for you. And if you don't know what that is, coming up this next Sunday, we're going to be having a ministry fair. You know the fairs this week, right? 90-degree weather. Come to Mountain View on Sunday where it's air-conditioned and there's no manure. Right? There's no carnies. There's nobody trying to take your money here. Okay, we got a place for you, and it's called the Ministry Fair, and we're going to have some of the best servants on planet Earth here at Mountain View Baptist Church just hanging out together in the gym after each service. And this is a really good place of application. You may not have a place to serve. You may not know where to plug in. We so much want to meet you. And next Sunday, we're going to give you an opportunity to walk by, chat with some folks that are doing ministry here. We'll show you the ministry plan. And there's so many places to plug in and to let your little light shine. But you know something? The life that you live right now in your home, the life that you live right now in your neighborhood, the life that you live right in your place of work or retirement, God wants your light to shine. Do you see that today in today's scripture? When you walked in, this was your prescription. Is one better or two better? You better say all of it. Okay, good. Now we can quit. You got it. Heavenly Father, as we bring this sermon in for a landing, we thank you, Lord, that you demonstrate your love for us the way nobody else did. You gave us your very self. You gave us your very best in your Son. And Lord, you continue to give us your very best through your Spirit and through your people. Lord, you have put us on this planet for a purpose, Lord. We can see that. Paul showed us today. Jesus told him, "For this purpose I have saved you." Lord God, I pray that we would encounter these supernatural outcomes to help people's eyes be opened, that ministry is about opening eyes. It's about people going to the light from their darkness. Lord, that ministry is about helping people getting out of that dominion and bondage to Satan and no future to a future of eternity with the Lord. Heaven that we can't even imagine. Eye has not heard, eye has not seen how great it's going to be serving you forever in glory. Lord, I pray there's no one here today that would say no to you. They'll say, yes, I want that. I want open eyes. I want light. I want the dominion of God. I want forgiveness of my sins, and I want that inheritance. Lord God, put that on people's hearts right now. Pray, Lord, that right now your just Holy Spirit is just tapping on the hearts of people, flicking our ears, letting us see your light in this message today, Lord. I pray we'd all go away better because of it. Our prescription fresh, our vision fresh, Lord God, and I pray you'll help us walk in that light. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen. Amen. Rise and shine and sing.